Today is April 26th, and we continue to worship without gathering. I hope that you already have had some worship time wherever you are this morning. The Lord is worthy of that. And we're going to get right into our next message in our series that started last week. We started a series last Sunday on marriage. And the series is called Back to the Altar. Last week we talked about the vows, those marriage vows that all of us exchanged, that we spoke to each other in the presence of God, and most of the time in the presence of witnesses, as we entered that covenant called marriage. And we talked about the importance of those vows. And from Malachi 2, we saw where the men, the Jewish men, were confronted about breaking faith or violating their marriage vows with their wives. In Proverbs 2, the wives are confronted. It talks about the wayward wife who violates her covenant, her vows. And so that kind of thing happens all the time. And so we just talked about the importance of those vows, just coming back to what it was that we really promised and committed to in those marriage vows. Today I need you to do something for me. There may be many things on your mind these days that would have the tendency to distract you. And in the next hour, I would really like you to make every effort to be still, kind of let those things step aside, and try to focus mainly on one thing, and that is your marriage. I believe God has something to say to us today about our marriages, and in order to really hear what He has to say, we need to be still and listen. And we can't be doers unless we hear. So I'm going to pray, and then Wendy Sweeney is going to sing a song that will perhaps help us become still before God so that we can catch what He has to say to us about marriage. So let's pray. Our Father, we come to You today again, and we're really looking forward to what You have to say to us about marriage. Thank You for being the designer and the creator of marriage, the one who brought the first husband and wife together. And Father, You have a design. You've revealed it to us in Your Word. And today again, we go to Your Word to see that design, that plan that You have for husbands and wives. And Father, I pray that You will help us to be still today and really be able to listen to what You have to say. And Father, I pray that even this song will help us to do that, Lord. Use the words of this song and its message to cause us to become still before You, to be hearers so that we can be doers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bring my
So I have a question for you, those of you who are married, husbands, wives. Did you see any victories in your marriage this past week? Think about the week that you've just experienced as husband and wife. As you look back, did you experience any victories? Now, I'm not talking about arguments you won. That is not a marriage victory. I'm not talking about you getting to purchase the item you wanted over the one your spouse wanted. That's not a marriage victory. Nor am I talking about you eventually being proven right in an argument that you had. That's not a marriage victory. Marriage victories are when the marriage wins, when something takes place that the marriage itself ends up growing from, being enhanced, where the bond becomes greater. A victory in marriage is when the marriage wins and when God is glorified. And so as I talk about victories today, which is our subject, victories in marriage, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about when one person in the relationship wins, in quotation marks. I'm talking about victories being when the marriage itself wins, grows, and when God is glorified by that marriage relationship. I have been missing sports. I've been missing Twins games. And it was kind of nice this week to at least think about sports a little bit as the NFL had their annual draft. And I could think about football for a while and think about the Vikings. And because that was happening this week, I thought about team sports and what is it that tends to be a key to sports teams winning and seeing victory. What are their keys to victory? And I thought of some things. First of all, what they call chemistry. You hear teams talk about chemistry. That really has to do with relationships on the team. If the relationships are good in the locker room or in the dugout or as the team travels, it's a good thing for the team. It seems to have a positive impact on the outcomes for a team when the relationships are good. Chemistry. Another key to victory on a sports team would be involving roles, because we know that on a team, every player has a certain role that he or she would play. And when they're all understanding their roles, accepting their roles, and carrying out their roles, you have what you call teamwork. And it has good outcomes when each person knows and understands and carries out their roles. Third, on a sports team, there is a necessity to respect your coach. There's always a coach. There's always a leader. There is a person who determines the game plan, who determines how a game is going to be approached. And it becomes very important for a positive outcome on that team in a game if there is respect for the coach, if there is a willingness to follow his game plan, if there's a willingness to trust him in the game plan that he has put together. And when you think about those three things, the relationships between the players on the team, the understanding and accepting of your role and willing to play your role together with the other teammates, and the willingness to trust and respect the coach, then you usually find what you could call fruit, or the outcomes of that team and the way they play the game. And the outcome then is the victory. But victories don't necessarily happen if you don't have the relationships, the carrying out of the proper roles, and the right attitude toward the coach. And so today, I want to move from team sports to marriage, because there are similarities. And on your sheet, you'll see basically the four items I was talking about pertaining to sports teams. But I think they apply to marriage if we are going to see victories in our marriages. And remember, the victories are when the marriage wins, when the marriage grows, when the marriage is enhanced, and when God is glorified. So let's look at these keys to seeing victories in a marriage. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 in your Bible. The New Testament book of Colossians, the third chapter. And I'd like to read for you verses 12 through 14. Colossians 3, 12 to 14. The Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." Now, obviously, that passage isn't talking about marriage. We don't see any specific reference to marriage. But it is talking about relationship. And we know that the New Testament is filled with teachings about relationship. And a marriage is a relationship. It's a relationship between two people. And the first key, I would say, to seeing victories in our marriage would be relationship. coming to understand the importance of the power of relational things like truth, speaking truth to one another, compassion, kindness, humility, patience, forgiveness, grace, gentleness, love, and all those other things the New Testament teaches about relationships. As couples, we need to understand the power of that. When those kinds of relationship dynamics are happening in the marriage. Another way of saying it is we need to understand the power of practicing the one another teachings, because that's what those teachings are. They're relational. And if we as couples could just understand the power of practicing those one another principles in our marriage, the importance and the power of our relationships. I mean, just think of it. Try to picture your marriage filled with things like compassion and love and forgiveness and patience and humility, kindness, grace, gentleness, on and on. Try to picture. For some, it might be very difficult to picture a relationship like that in your marriage. For some, there's this feeling like it's not possible. It's too hard. And it is. But it is possible to have a relationship like Paul describes here in Colossians. He describes it in Ephesians chapter 4. Other writers describe all these different qualities that are so important in relationships. Someone has said that marriage is living with a partial stranger. And I know people today talk about, you know, marrying your soulmate, whatever that means, and all this stuff. And we talk about marriage as though we're marrying this perfect person. And when we get married, we seem to imply that we know everything there is to know about this person. And he or she is just right for me. Now, granted, when we get married, hopefully we know a lot about the person, because hopefully we've developed this really good relationship, and through how we develop the relationship, we have really gotten to know this young lady or this young man. But the fact is, and I think those of you who are married would agree with this, as we get married and begin to live with one another in marriage, we find out there are a lot of things we didn't know about that person. And during the course of our marriage, we're learning things that we didn't know, that didn't come out in the dating, that didn't surface in the courtship. And so in that way, we really are marrying somebody that is a partial stranger. There are things we don't know. And some of the things we come to learn during the course of marriage are really difficult to respond to. And as a result, we have a lot of conflict. As we try to respond to those things that we're learning, they're not always positive things. You know, we've been at our best behavior during the dating, up to the wedding. But we kind of let down after we get married. And just because we're living together 24 hours a day, we begin to see these things surface that maybe we're not that excited about. And so we have to learn to love the person, despite those things we're learning. We need to learn how to show grace. We need to learn how to forgive. We need to learn how to be kind. We need to learn how to bear with. We need to learn these things, because we really did marry a partial stranger, and we're still learning about each other. But we need to understand that those relationship things are really powerful, and they are a key to seeing marriage victories, to seeing your marriage grow and be enhanced and God glorified through your marriage. As we relate in these biblical ways, these one another ways to each other, as we continue to live together and learn more and more things about each other. A second key to seeing victories in our marriage has to do with roles, just like a sports team. It has to do with roles. God, when he reveals to us His design in Scripture for a marriage relationship, talks about roles. Part of His design and plan is that a wife has certain roles and a man has certain roles, the husband, in that marriage relationship. If you turn with me to Ephesians 5, I'm just going to remind you of probably the two major roles that become the roles with the most issues, I guess you could call it, today. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to start with verse 21 because I think that's important to do here. Verse 22 is when we actually begin to see specifically Paul referring to marriage. But I think we have to see verse 21 first. Ephesians 5:21 says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." So the general teaching there is that we are to submit to one another in the body of Christ. What does that mean? Well, to submit means to adapt, to accept your role in a situation or in a relationship. To submit means to yield. Perhaps you've listened to debates in Congress and somebody has been speaking and giving their views. And then they'll say something like, "I yield to the gentleman from Pennsylvania." And what does that congressman mean? It means I'm willing to step back and hear from this person. I yield to them. And really, that's submitting, to yield to someone else. To submit also means to serve, actually. When you submit to someone, you're placing yourself in a position to serve them. And we learn from Ephesians 5 that submitting is also about respect. But Paul begins this section by saying, submit to one another. So that's the teaching to everyone in the body of Christ. Then he comes to verse 22, and he says, wives. So wives, here's how you can do this. Submit to one another in the marriage relationship. And then he comes to verse 25 and he says, husbands, this is how you can submit to one another in the marriage relationship. And so actually, if you look at the context here, starting in verse 21, both the wife and the husband in the marriage are being taught to submit. Paul is just giving the specific way in which the wife submits in marriage and the specific way the husband submits in marriage. So let's look at that. How does the husband submit in marriage? Through loving leadership. It's very clear in verse 24 that the husband is in the leadership position. Verse 23 uses the term head, which simply means the leader, the leadership position. But in verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives. This is the kind of leader you're to be. You're to love your wife in a sacrificial way, the way Jesus loves the church. He sacrificed for the church. It goes on to say, he protects the church. And the husband submits to his wife by protecting her. The husband submits to his wife by promoting her growth. He goes on to talk about how Christ promotes our growth into holiness. And in the same way, the husband is to lead his wife in a way that promotes her growth, her holiness. So the way the husband submits to his wife in marriage is through loving leadership. Loving her in that sacrificial, growth-promoting, protecting way. Just to come back to a sports illustration that maybe the husbands will understand here. In baseball, there is a certain concept called the sacrifice bunt. Now, the sacrifice bunt is an opportunity for a player to submit and to yield to someone else and to do something that in a way for them is a sacrifice, but the outcome will be to advance somebody else. When maybe you would like to step up to the plate and show your power by swinging away and hitting a homer. But the coach says, no, what's needed now is not for you to hit the ball over the fence and show your power. What I want you to do now is to submit to your teammate on base. I want you to bunt the ball so that a fielder will pick it up and throw you out. You're going to make an out. But in so doing, you will advance your teammate to the next base, which gives him a better opportunity to score later on. That's kind of the husband's way of submitting to his wife as a leader. There are times when it calls for sacrifice. It calls for serving your wife. It calls for doing what will advance her, promote her growth, protect her. It calls for a sacrifice bunt. And as a Christ-like leader, that's submission, where you're willing to sacrifice. As husbands, we're not supposed to be out there all the time trying to hit a homer and show how powerful we are. That's not the Christ-like love that characterizes the leadership that God has given us as husbands. And so the husband is to submit to his wife. It is done through loving leadership. How does the wife submit to the husband in marriage? Through respectful followership. I had to look that up. It is a word in the dictionary, followership. And so I could use it. But Paul teaches respectful followership on the part of the wife. That's how she is to submit in the marriage relationship. Verse 22, wives submit to your husbands. Verse 24, so also wives should submit to husbands. The passage closes in verse 33 with, and the wife must respect her husband. Notice Paul changes the word there from submit to respect, because submission is respect. It's yielding. It's adapting to somebody else. It's recognizing and accepting your role in the relationship and your husband's role in the relationship and working with it and serving him from that position, supporting him, encouraging him. Here's something interesting that you might want to jot down. Back in Genesis chapter 2, you may recall the creation of the first woman. Do you remember what the scripture there calls her? Suitable helper. The King James word is helpmeet. The New International Version says suitable helper, or helper suitable for him. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that, oh, the wife is second rate and she's just an assistant, an aide, a helper. Okay? That's not what it means. If you check it out, the Hebrew word that's used there, translated helper, is a military term. And it's the word for recruitment, reinforcement. It's when you recruit reinforcements. What are reinforcements in the military? Reinforcements are those who come alongside those who are already in the battle to bring added strength and to, in a sense, complete the team. And so wives, according to Genesis 2, you're not just an assistant. You're not just an aide. You are reinforcements that are adding strength to your husband's life. You're improving the team. You're completing the team. That's the suitable helper. And the way that you do it is through submission. That's how you submit in marriage. And so when we think about roles, I think that if you just observe marriages long enough, you see that the marriages that are really seeing victory, growth in their marriage being enhanced, God being glorified, are the marriages where the husband and wife have come to understand and accept their God-given roles and are living those out. It seems to be those are the marriages that you see these victories happening and God being glorified. And both roles have to do with submission. We're to submit to one another. It's just that the husband does it through a loving leadership. That's how he submits to his wife. And the wife does it through this respectful followership. That's how she submits to her husband. The third key to seeing victories in a marriage is fear. And you better add there, fear of the Lord. It's not fear of your husband, fear of your wife. It's fear of the Lord. So important if you want to see victories in your marriage. Let's go to the Old Testament for this. Psalm 128, first of all. Psalm 128. The psalmist is talking about family here in this short psalm. And he talks about the fear of the Lord. And specifically in Psalm 128, he's referring to the man, the husband. Because later he talks about the wife, how she's impacted by the husband, the children, how they're impacted by the father. So he's referring to the man, the husband. Notice verse 1. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. And then verse 4. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. So here we have the importance of the man in the family. The man in the marriage relationship fearing the Lord. If you turn over to Proverbs 31, the last chapter of Proverbs, we have that wonderful passage that takes up almost the entire chapter about the wife of noble character, the excellent wife. And notice the statement in the second to the last verse of that chapter, Proverbs 31:30. It says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who, what? Fears the Lord is to be praised. And so what we see is the importance of fearing the Lord on the part of the husband, Psalm 128, and the importance of the wife fearing the Lord in Proverbs 31:30. I suggest this is a key to seeing marriage victories, to seeing a marriage grow and be enhanced and bring glory to God. It's the woman and the man fearing the Lord. Now, when we talk about fearing the Lord, we always talk about reverencing Him, respecting Him, that type of thing. And that's part of it. But if you can open back to Psalm 128:1 again, real quickly, you're going to see something about the fear of the Lord. In the book of Psalms and in the book of Proverbs, you may know that it's very common for the writers to say the same thing twice. They'll make a statement and then right away follow it with another statement that uses different words but says the same thing. That's what's happening in Psalm 128:1. And it gives us insight into what it means to fear the Lord. The writer says, blessed is the one who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. Let me suggest those two things equal each other. Fearing the Lord equals walking in His ways. The fear of the Lord is not just a view of God. The fear of the Lord is not just an attitude toward God. The fear of the Lord is action. It's walking in His ways. That is the fear of the Lord. Yes, it's having that right view of God. Yes, it's having the proper attitude toward God. But the fear of the Lord is action. It's walking in the Lord's ways. It's following His what? Game plan. It's trusting God that His ways are right. Respecting Him to the point where you will follow His game plan. His design. That's the fear of the Lord. Now relate that to a marriage. When the husband is fearing the Lord, walking in the Lord's ways concerning marriage, willing to trust the Lord's game plan for marriage. When the wife is fearing the Lord, meaning she is willing to respect the Lord, to trust His game plan for marriage, and to live accordingly. When that is happening, you're going to see marriage victories. You're going to see many times where things happen that cause the marriage to grow, to be enhanced further. And you're going to see many times when that marriage relationship is going to bring glory to God, victories. So, relationship, a couple practicing in their relationship, the one another teachings, these very important relational teachings in Scripture, roles, understanding your roles in marriage, understanding that as a man, God has given you the role in marriage of being a loving leader, a Christ-like leader. And it's in that Christ-like leadership that you are actually submitting to your wife and serving her and promoting her growth and sacrificing for her and protecting her. And it's a wife who understands her God-given role in that marriage and that she submits to her husband in marriage by having this respectful followership, willing to follow his leadership, to respect his leadership, to support his leadership, to be his suitable helper, the reinforcements that God has brought into his life to add strength to his life and make a team. And then, of course, the fear of the Lord, respecting and trusting your coach, the Lord, who has a plan for marriage, who has designed marriage, and being willing to follow it. Not just have the right attitude toward the Lord, not just have the right view toward the Lord, but to walk in His ways when it comes to marriage. And if those three things are happening, you're going to have fruit. There are going to be outcomes from your marriage. There are going to be victories. Some of the scriptures we've already talked about refer to fruit, outcomes. Back to Psalm 128, where we read about the importance of the husband fearing the Lord. Notice the fruit of that in the marriage. Verse 3 says to the husband, if you fear the Lord, walk in His ways, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. One of the fruits of a husband relating to his wife in these one another ways, understanding, accepting, and carrying out his role of submitting to her in loving leadership, leading in a Christ-like way, and fearing the Lord, is that he will see his wife blossom. Be fruitful in the home. It's going to have this positive impact on his wife. That's the fruit. And the sad thing, friends, is there are wives who are wilting on the vine. There are wives who are not growing, whose lives are not being enhanced. And it's because the husband is not fulfilling his role in the way God designed, not fearing the Lord and following God's design, not relating to his wife in the one another ways. But the husbands who are, the outcome, the fruit, is the wife becomes like this fruitful, alive, growing vine. If you turn over to Ephesians 5, well, let's go to Proverbs since we're right there. Proverbs 31, that chapter about the wife. There's some fruit mentioned here of a wife being this kind of woman in the marriage. Notice verse 10 of Proverbs 31. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. There's fruit there of a wife relating to her husband in these one another ways, understanding and living out her role and fearing the Lord. It says her husband will have full confidence in her. Does your husband have full confidence in you? She brings him good, not harm. Are you bringing good? Is that the fruit of you living out God's design for you as a wife? Are you bringing good to your husband's life rather than harm? And then, of course, we see fruit in verse 28, talking about this wife. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband even praises her and says, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. That's fruit of a wife being the wife God designed her to be. She's praised by her husband. He says good things about her to anyone who will listen, rather than complaining about her and criticizing her to whoever would listen. But this is the fruit of a wife living according to God's design. Her husband praises her. If you go over to Ephesians, we have fruit. Back to Ephesians 5. And we won't read the whole passage. You know the passage. But logically, what we see here is fruit. Because what we see is if a wife is submitting through respectful followership, you have a man who feels supported. You have a man who feels encouraged. You have a man who feels respected. That's the fruit. And if the husband is practicing loving, Christ-like leadership, you have a wife who is feeling loved. You have a wife who is feeling like her husband really cares about her growth and is actually promoting her growth. You have a wife who feels protected by her leader, by her loving leader. That's fruit. Because, notice on your sheet, the fruit of your marriage is seen and heard in the other person. If you want to see the fruit, if you want to know what the fruit is, the outcome of your marriage is, you look at and listen to the other person. Husbands, if you want to see the fruit of your function as a husband, look at your wife. listen to her. If she feels loved and communicates that she feels love, that's a victory. That's fruit. If your wife feels like you support and promote her growth in holiness, and you see her growth, and you hear her communicate appreciation for that, that's a victory. That's fruit. If your wife is being protected and she communicates that to you, that she feels safe, or communicates it to other people, that's victory. That's fruit. If your wife is like this fruitful vine, there's life, there's vibrancy, her life is better because she lives with you, you'll be able to see that. You'll be able to hear that. That's victory. That's fruit. Fruit isn't what you decide it is. Victory isn't what you decide it is. You will see and hear the fruit and the victory by listening to and watching your wife. But it's the same for the wife. If you want to know if there is fruit and victory because of how you are functioning as a wife, look at your husband. Listen to your husband when he speaks to you, when he speaks to others. That's when you'll find out if there's fruit and victory. When your husband is feeling respected, that's victory. That's fruit. When your husband is feeling encouraged and supported, that's victory. That's fruit. When your husband is saying good things about you to other people, that's victory. That's fruit. Victory and fruit in your marriage, ladies, isn't what you decide it is. It's shown and heard in your husband. That's where you find the fruit and the victory of your function as a wife. So, I think the keys to that fruit being there, those victories, the marriage growing, the marriage being enhanced, God being glorified, comes when we are relating to each other as God designed, according to the one another teachings, all those relational teachings, when we understand and accept and begin to carry out properly our roles that God has given to us, and when we are fearing the Lord, walking in His ways. When those three things are happening, that's when we see fruit. That's when we see positive outcome. That's when we see victories in our marriage. So the question, to wrap it up, are you seeing victories in your marriage? Knowing what I'm suggesting victory is in marriage, are you seeing victories in your marriage? It's interesting, if you look at the quotes down at the bottom on your sheet, for sure, make sure you notice the one by Gary Thomas. I love it. When you marry a fellow believer, God's your father-in-law. Keep that in mind when you're making your choices as to the kind of husband or wife you're going to be to that sister or brother in the Lord. God is your father-in-law. But the one I want you to notice is the one that John Piper wrote in one of his books on marriage. He says, some cultures like ours have such low, casual, take-it-or-leave-it attitudes toward marriage as to make the biblical vision seem ludicrous to most people. And I think we're seeing that in our culture. I think when you describe this kind of marriage that I've just described, when you think about the kind of marriage that is presented in Scripture, when you think about these relational things, when you think about the roles God has given the husband and wife, when you think about the importance of fearing the Lord, when you think about what really is a marriage victory, to many people in our culture, that sounds ludicrous. It sounds foolish. It sounds unworkable. It would be called old-fashioned. People would say it doesn't work today. That's from a time that has long passed. I would say to those people, it works. I have no doubt in my mind, it works. And so, in your marriage, what is the answer to the question? Are you seeing victories in your marriage? If the answer is no, if you have to honestly say, no, I'm not seeing the kind of victories you're talking about, the growth in our marriage, the things that regularly take place that enhance our marriage relationship. I'm not seeing God being glorified in our marriage very often. I'm not seeing victories. I'm not seeing this kind of fruit, these kinds of outcomes. If that's your answer, what should you do? You know what a lot of people decide they should do? Quit and go find somebody else and try it with them. I want to suggest a better response to having to say no to that question is for you as a couple to go back to the altar. Go back to where it started. Go back to the altar. Remind yourselves of the vows, those important vows we talked about last week. Think it through. Talk about it. Pray about it. What if you went back to the altar? It is not impossible to have marriage victories. But you're a team. And when you're a team, there are certain things that are necessary for those victories. You need to have chemistry. You need to relate in the ways God designed. You need to understand your roles on this team called marriage and be willing to accept them and do your best to carry them out in the way God designed. And you need to respect and trust the coach, the one who designed marriage, the one who has the game plan for your marriage. You need to fear him. You need to respect him, trust him, and follow the game plan. And then you will see fruit, victory, outcomes that are positive as God intended in your marriage. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for once again reminding us of the importance of marriage. Thank you that you've revealed to us your plan, your design. Thank you, Father, for the person that we have entered this covenant with, that we are doing marriage with right now. And Father, I pray that we will consider the things that we saw today. Because, Lord, we want victories. We want to see our marriages grow, be enhanced frequently. We want our marriages to bring glory to you. And so, Father, help us to think through these keys, these things that will cause that to happen. And maybe, Lord, you could bring about some really good discussions by couples in the next week. Some really good thinking. Maybe some really good reaffirming of vows and commitments to one another. Maybe even some really good decisions that will lead to victory in their marriage. That would be my desire. And I know, Lord, it would be your will. And so I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.